What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anthony Herron on 670 The Score.
City! For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Guests who join us throughout the night will join us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It was just out there a few weeks ago myself, actually. I know Layla and Marshall were out there today repping the station as well with our guy Ray Diaz. Any breaking news that happens throughout the evening, breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Been a minute Since I got that in, got that out of my system. You know, the solo times in the evenings here, I have been out and about a lot throughout the football offseason, been on the move with the fam. We've been international. We've been domestic. We've been all across these great United States, and we came back from being overseas. So we went and saw the in-laws in Boston in like early July, and then went overseas to France for a few weeks, and then got back from there, and I was immediately into football mode. So I was over in Vegas for Big Ten Football Media Days for a week, and that was when I was at, spent some time in old Vegas, down there in downtown Vegas. Went and checked out things over on Fremont Street. I got a circa a little bit. Got back from there, went out to L.A., had a Fox Sports football seminar they do with the NFL announcers and the college football announcers, and you know, Fox Sports doesn't normally mind shelling out a little cash for a few things like that. And it was quite an event. Quite a time was had out there in L.A. for that. And now since then, just getting into the thick of the football season. So it's nice to be spending more time back on the station here as of late. As Lawrence mentioned, while we were in transition, I'll be on with him on Tuesday afternoon. And the next week being week one, like this is week zero of college football, so a few games will be kicking off this weekend. We get into week one next week, and my busyness ensues there. But as you've probably seen me, not only heard me on the station here, seen me on Fox 32 a little bit with the Bears preseason games so far. Over there, my people Luke Kanellis, Cassie Carlson, and we'll get into some Bears talk a little bit later in the show, but because of what's happening with the Cubs, I mean, there's been sort of these drastic swings in emotion. And by the way, my guy Sean Sears over on the ones and twos for me on the other side of the glass for the evening here. And these drastic swings in emotion that have been associated with the Cubs lately, been some somewhat visceral reactions both on the pro and the con side of how things have been going here, because everyone knew this series with the Brewers had such magnitude to it. So I want to give you a chance. I normally don't immediately open up the phone lines here, but I do want to get a chance to hear from you a bit, because we will have Bruce Levine with me in a few short minutes here. We'll also have Kevin Fishbane as we get into some Bears talk towards the end of this hour. Of Matt Fortuna and Vinny Duber later in the show as well. But you can hit me up. I know a lot of you have been reacting in a very strong manner to what's been happening with the Cubs. The positives that we've seen from a bit of a revival, you know, taking the series against the Brewers, but then also the Kyle Tucker saga has gotten a lot of publicity here the last couple of days with the revelation of the fractured hand that's there. So hit me up, 312-644-6767. Would love to hear from you. And frankly, whether or not, how surprised were you to see Kyle Tucker back in the lineup today? And with that in mind, now that we've seen the results have not improved through one additional game, but it's been a minute here since Kyle Tucker has looked like the Kyle Tucker that he's been throughout his career, the perennial all-star, one of the top hitters, top power hitters in the game. And as we've been talking about lately, even before the revelation about, you know, what do you want to call it, a fractured hand, broken hand. I mean, fracture and a break are the same thing. I've dealt with a few breaks and fractures in my day. A fracture is a break. A fracture is, you know, the term ends up getting used when it's viewed as a smaller break, perhaps a thinner break, but it's still a break. So, you know, he's essentially got a broken hand, which I've had a few of those, but I've never played baseball. So I got to use my hands a lot, or had to use my hands a lot in football. But then I could just, like, you know, tape it up, club it up. Can't tell you how many times I basically had the Q-tip around one of my hands when a finger was broken or a hand was broken. And, you know, you kind of play D-line with the big Q-tip on your hand and kind of figure things out. Definitely gone down that road before. But it's a really unique situation, because the decision-making for the Cubs here, there's some conjecture, and understandably so, about what are the factors from a Cub perspective in this, what are the factors from a Kyle Tucker perspective in continuing to put a guy who's been one of the top players, one of the top hitters in the sport, into the lineup over and over again. Then we get this revelation about the continuing medical issue that has seemingly been impacting his performance. Now, he's not specifically confessing to that. The Cubs aren't specifically confessing to that, to a broken hand hitter. But it doesn't take a big mental leap to believe that previously fracturing his hand would be the reason that this is the worst hitting we've ever seen Kyle Tucker do, the least powerful hitting we've ever seen Kyle Tucker do at any stretch in his major league career. So if nothing else, a day or two off didn't necessarily feel like it was going to be substantial enough from what we've seen from Kyle Tucker here as of late. But if nothing else, not just the performance, but the health, or vice versa. If you're not saying it's the health, then say it's the performance and just give him more time away. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines right now. See, Teddy is out in Berwyn, and, you know, Craig Counsell, he's been one of the top managers in the sport, and this is probably the first time, at least the most heated the reactions have been about the Cubs manager. What's happening, Teddy?
Hey, man, I'm a little frustrated with the way things are going with this manager. I mean, you got Matt Shaw, the hottest hitter on the team. He doesn't play him. Why? Why doesn't he play him? You got a guy that's playing right field that thinks he's worth $500 million. He ain't worth 500 cents the way he's playing now. So, I mean, if the guy is injured, sit him out. Put him on the DL. What good is he doing to the team? What good is he doing out there? Can't catch a fly ball. I mean, he can't hit. He's got the He's got the yips. He's got the yips. He can't. He's doing the same thing over and over and over with the rollover ground balls. Absolutely ridiculous.
I hear you, Teddy, and it's that frustration. You can only imagine what the frustration is in the Cubs clubhouse about it now. To keep it in perspective, strong week for the team of the Cubs, taking 3 out of 5 from the team with the best record in baseball. Maybe not the most gifted lineup. Not maybe. Definitely not the most gifted lineup in baseball. But the Milwaukee Brewers, in a similar fashion to what I talked to folks about on the whole, like in college football, who's the best and who's the most deserving with the college football playoff. We'll talk a little bit more about some of those things later in the show when I get into some football and some college football talk. But Brewers are the best team in baseball. You know, they're certainly not the highest valued team in baseball. They certainly don't have the most expensive lineup and pitching staff in baseball. But when you got the best record, when you've got one of the great win streaks we've seen this century, the best team in the sport. And that's really what this should come down to. So to take 3 out of 5 from them in this week, you know, Cubs, if they would have gotten today, then could have felt more formidable. You know, being 5 back coming out of this series, taking 4 out of 5, it would have felt even better, even stronger with the performance of the Cubs, just in thinking that they would have put themselves really within reach, legitimately within striking distance, or trying to do something in the division still. That feels far-fetched at this point, but still, taking 3 out of 5 against the Brewers, there is some perspective worthwhile from that, because you've seen Owen Casey and Matt Shaw. Even Showtime today, like, didn't come out with the win, obviously, but going 7 strong against Milwaukee, another strong outing at Wrigley Field. This pitching staff has just continued to be marvelous, and the offense began to show some more signs of life here as of late. So there's some positivity to take from it, but of course, the Kyle Tucker storyline has a lot of folks concerned. 312-644-6767. Let's get another one in. I see Michael is out in Sycamore wanting to talk about what's happening with Kyle Tucker and the Cubs. Michael, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, good. This is my first time calling in. I'll just tell you, I just don't get it. I, you know, we've seen this throughout the season where the Cubs, they'll have a team on the ropes, and then all of a sudden that third game will throw some weird lineup out. It's almost like we concede instead of being, you know, having the best 9 out there. And today, I mean, honestly, like I think it's been said today going on, is that there was no reason for Kyle Tucker to play today. Zero reason. None at all. You had a team that you had the Brewers on the ropes. You had young talent in there that gave your team a spark plug, and all of a sudden you just literally pull that spark plug out, and it's almost you set such a low bar for the team all of a sudden that the energy just goes away.
And that's an interesting observation, Michael. Thanks for the call, because, you know, the couple of days without Kyle Tucker, and up to this point I've seen zero evidence that there is any sort of schism between Kyle Tucker and his teammates. And then just in evaluating what the scenario is right now, especially just from an athlete's perspective, you know, it's easy to view Kyle Tucker as a guy who's just trying to play through injury, trying to be out there for his team on a daily basis, wants to be accountable, because frankly, he's doing damage too. I mean, just like the caller earlier, Teddy was mentioning, he wants $500, $600 million. He's not worth anything near that much. If he were able to perform at full health, like the Kyle Tucker he's been throughout his career, like the Kyle Tucker he was for the first half of the season, then yeah, he was going to get that money from somebody. He'd get $500 million or more from someone. But even knowing that his hand was banged up, he's continued to go out there wanting to help his team, wanting to support his team, not being at full strength in a contract year and being willing to do that. There's a level of gratitude I would imagine the clubhouse has for Kyle Tucker's willingness to do that, to put his money on the line in spite of what it could end up meaning. So I respect it. My ire is more directed at the Cubs, at Craig Counsell, at Jed Hoyer, just wondering how or why have they allowed it to go on this long, because so many folks on this station and on other platforms have been saying for a while, doesn't look healthy. We know this has been banged up, that's been banged up, doesn't look like our Kyle Tucker. And now we do see the specifics of why. Knowing that, that's where some of this reaction from fans is coming from at the moment. Certainly, I'm very curious what's going to happen from here as they get ready to head out to L.A. I know a man who's got more likelihood to have some insight on that than I do. I got Bruce Levine. He'll join me next. I'll take a quick timeout. Bruce Levine will give us the latest after what he witnessed at Wrigley throughout this week and what's happening with Kyle Tucker. Bruce Levine with me next on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here comes the 1-0. Swinging a liner, caught by the second baseman, Terang. It's a double play. Bush slipped and fell as he tried to jam on the brakes. I don't think it would have mattered anyway. A soft line drive hit by Tucker. Terang, the second baseman, caught it and then lobbed it to Vaughn, with Bush laying on the ground halfway between first and second. Two down.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Oh, Sean Sears. So this song, this bump reminds me of a movie called Real Genius that came out, I don't know. I'm going to set the over-under at like 1986 or something like that. It had Val Kilmer and a bunch of other faces of actors that I can picture their faces and I don't know their names. Val Kilmer is the main name, biggest star that was in that movie, but an 80s classic, if you will. And then the song itself wasn't half bad either. Anthony Herron this Thursday evening on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's go out to The Score Hotline, which is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, for a bit of a reaction to that sound that Sean played before we got into Real Genius. That was Kyle Tucker just lining into a double play. I think a a microcosm of some of the frustrations that Cubs fans, and you would imagine Kyle Tucker himself, have felt with him at the plate as of late. What's happening, Bruce? How are you this evening?
Anthony, I don't know how Cubs fans feel. I can only tell you that they played a good series against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers know that the Cubs aren't just going to fall away and run away because they went on this hot streak that had won them 14 in a row, and then they came back and Cubs took 3 out of 5. And you know, most Cubs fans might say, well, that's not enough. We're still 7 games out with about 34 or 35 to play. That might be right, but I think right now you pay attention to how your team's playing, how it performs on this 9-game coast trip, and how strong is it going into the playoffs a month from now. That's really the tune that you should be listening to in your head when you look at the Chicago Cubs right now.
Well, I love the perspective, Bruce, because it can be very difficult to attain and sustain when some of the additional frustrations kind of seep in. And I do wonder with, you know, I took a couple of callers in the opening segment of the show before you joined me here. And there is this rising frustration with Craig Counsell and Jed Hoyer specific to the Kyle Tucker news, as I'm sure you know well. And I do wonder, before we get into the specifics of how things have played out with Tucker, if we didn't have that news or that knowledge, do you feel like the perception of the Cubs taking 3 out of 5, taking the season series against the Brewers, would that perhaps make it easier to keep some perspective on what overall has been a positive week for the ball club?
Well, you know, it's been a positive year for the Cubs. The problem is that the Brewers got extraordinarily hot, and they distanced themselves from them in the division and have the best record by far in the National League. The Cubs have the second best record, okay? They have the top wild card spot. So it doesn't sound very exciting after the Cubs had played so well the first 2.5 months of the year. But, you know, the reality of a long baseball season, they're still in great position. They're in the best position they've been in since 2020 to go into the playoffs and hopefully have a run. It's a good team. It's not a great team. I don't know too many great teams are out there. I caution anybody to tell me that Milwaukee's a great team. It's a really good team. I don't think there's really great teams out there. So this year, like many years, when you talk about the playoffs, Anthony, you talk about getting into the tournament and then making your way through. It's easier if you win your division. You have the best record or the second best record. You have a bye in the first round. But, you know, eventually you're going to have to go through all the other teams, be playing good baseball, and win. So the Cubs are going to have that opportunity. They're going to go into the playoffs. They're going to have their chance to run at these other teams. And when you mention that the Cubs won the season series, most people will go, oh, okay, yeah, 7-6, big deal. Well, if they tie at the end of the regular season, the first breaker on who gets the division title, that's going to be the Chicago Cubs winning the head-to-head. So it is a big deal. Today, you know, 35 days away from that date, doesn't look like a big deal. It can be a big deal at the end of the season.
Bruce Levine's glass is always half full, and we love him for it on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And specific to Kyle Tucker, and I know you've been there amongst the throng, just trying to sort of sift through what's gone on and how the decision-making has taken place with the realization that, okay, we got public confirmation. The hand has been fractured for some time here. He doesn't want it to be an excuse. The Cubs don't seem to be wanting to make it an excuse, but it's hard not to think that something like that is impacting his performance because he just doesn't look like the Kyle Tucker we've seen throughout his entire career. How has the decision-making in this played out? Is it more Tucker wanting to force his way into the lineup, or are the Cubs just in full support?
So, Anthony, after he injured the hand and it sustained what he didn't know was a fracture from the first MRI, which it didn't show, he played 3 more weeks, had an OPS of 950, hit 5 home runs, was the usual Kyle Tucker that you had been accustomed to watching the first 2 months of the season. and into this June part. So for 3 weeks, he produced. So now, you know, down the line, after they looked at it and he said his hand was still sore, they had an MRI, and it determined that there was a hairline fracture, but that it was well on its way to healing. He could continue to play. This isn't, this isn't scientific brand new news in sports. Last year, Nico Horner played with a fracture in his hand. Bellinger has played for the Cubs over the last 2 years with a fracture in his finger. Players can play through it. Now, the question is, has there been attrition now to the hand and the finger, and right. Is that the reason why he's not hitting? So, but we can't do the revisionist history and pretend he didn't produce for the 3 weeks after he sustained the injury. That's just a fact. Now, as it continued to be sore and became a reason why they got a second MRI, fine. In the meantime, he runs into the sports dilemma. What's the sports dilemma for an athlete? If you play injured and you're not good, everybody hates you. If you are injured, you can play, but you don't. People have another word for that. They're not nice words. But in general, what it is you're not playing up to ability of what a man has to do or a woman has to do in a sport that you're getting paid to play. So, you know, there you are. You know as much about it as anybody else. You know, those are the ways injured players have to deal with reality, especially when you're a star player like Tucker is. It would be one thing if it was a peripheral player who they weren't counting on to be the big dog. That's not the case with Tucker.
And you know, for me, because this Tucker situation is certainly reminding me of various moments throughout my football playing career and some of the various limbs that I still need operated on at this point in my 40s, decisions that I have to make at this point. We're going to get to some of that a bit later in the show. But the decision for Kyle Tucker himself is, I find it to be fascinating because, to your point, Bruce, he's in a scenario where he's going out there every day hoping to help his team in a divisional hunt, in a playoff chase, but his performance just isn't very helpful right now. And they did quite well in a couple of days he wasn't out there. What's the balance as you're getting to be around it in person over there in the ballpark? I mean, just for him, mentally and emotionally, he's frankly losing money right now.
Well, yeah, he has lost a lot of money, but the reality is he is not the lone ranger when it comes to not producing. None of the Cub offensive players, stars or would-be stars, have been producing in August, okay? You look at Suzuki, you look at Armstrong to a certain extent, you look at some of the others that are supposed to be producing here, and they're not, okay? They're not hitting home runs, not driving in a lot of runs, you know, they're not hitting doubles, they're not slugging. And they're all, you know, they're all pretty much mixed in there. They scored 15 runs in these five games, and they won three. That's pretty amazing in itself, right? You're averaging three runs a game, and you won three out of five against the top team in baseball record-wise. So good for them, but, you know, certainly the offense isn't firing the way that it was a few months ago. And Tucker isn't the main and only reason why. The problem is that he's the top star on the team. And when you're the top star and you're out there and you're not producing, you're going to catch it. And as you said, to convolute the whole thing, he played in the All-Star game, right? He started the All-Star game, and he's going to be a free agent. And everybody's going to say he's playing because he doesn't want to lose any more money. And like you said, you know, the opposite might be true. He's been playing hurt and under the weather, and it hasn't been working out. So there's a lot of moving parts to this story. And you can attack from any point. Any fan is going to be right. Any media person is going to be right. And any fan and any media person are going to be wrong at the same time, because there's too many moving parts to really point the finger, no pun intended, at what the real problem is. The problem is the Cubs aren't scoring any runs, and Tucker's not getting the job done.
I suppose, at least in my mind, one positive is that, and this is the second year in a row this has been the case, because I'm sure you remember, Bruce, last offseason, a lot of folks kind of thought, well, maybe it's okay the Cubs didn't do more because nobody else is going to run away with this division. Hand up, I was one of those people also. Now the Cubs did make bigger moves and spend more money this past offseason, and most folks assumed Milwaukee, St. Louis, nobody else is going to be in a position to do anything about it, and here they are. They're seven games back. So it does feel to me like the division is far less likely to win at this point. Is there any chance? Do you think it's plausible that they go ahead and put Kyle Tucker on the IL at this point?
I don't think he's going on the IL, but I think there's to answer your first question, yeah, I think they can win the division, but it's going to take they're going to have to play like 750, 800 ball, and the Brewers are going to have to play way under that for them to catch them. Seven games with 34 left, Anthony, that's a lot of games, especially because you have no more head-to-head. That's over with. So you're going to have to get help from other people. You do have this opportunity right now, which is a big one for the Cubs. Over their next 24 games are played against teams that are under 500. Okay? So you have an opportunity, being one of those better teams in baseball, to do some real damage here in those 24 games. Now, 19 of those next 28 games are on the road, including this nine-game road trip that they're on, starting in Anaheim, going to San Francisco, then Colorado. So that's not easy, no matter how good or bad another team is winning a lot on the road. The other good news is the Cubs have the second-best win and loss record in the National League on the road. So that's a couple games over 500. It's only three teams in the National League with records over 500 on the road: Brewers, Cubs, Phillies. So there's a lot of positive things on the horizon for the Cubs. The reality is they just have to play good baseball, win their game. They have to win a lot of them, and they have to be a hot team going into the playoffs. I would be more interested in knowing that they're healthy, hot going into the playoffs as the top wild card team than I am about a team that had to stumble in. They won the division, but they lost two or three other guys going in. So I know you can't have it your way. You know, this isn't, fast food here, right? But the reality is that there's still plenty of good baseball to be played. There's plenty of opportunities for the Cubs, and it's going to be interesting drama and probably, hopefully, great drama all the way through the month of October.
Oh, it is definitely setting itself up for that. There's no doubt about it, Bruce. As always, you cover it better than anyone else in this town and in the business. Appreciate you taking the time with me tonight.
Anthony, always a pleasure. Have a great night.
You can find him on social media at MLB Bruce Levine, our guy here, baseball analyst at The Score and the Marquee Sports Network. We'll take a quick timeout, get right back, but we will transition into some football conversation. About to get fishy up in this piece. Kevin Fishbane will join me next on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Saying that you're calmer in practice, and Tyson said that you're more likely to get cussed out in practice. So do you recognize that about yourself, and is that intentional?
Well, yeah, we're trying to create a certain atmosphere during practice that is more challenging than what the games are. So, they feel the pressure in practice, and then on game day, they all know that we're all on the same team and we're all pulling the same direction. So it's really by design.
We're back. Live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Bears head coach Ben Johnson discussing his demeanor, comparing how he is in practice after having both quarterbacks who've addressed the media lately, having them compare his practice demeanor versus what he's like on game day. My old college coach, Hayden Fry, was kind of the opposite. Where in practice he was cool as a cucumber. Game days, he's like a maniac. But everyone, every coach, everybody kind of has their approach to how they end up handling those things. But Ben Johnson is certainly a man who's been planning for this moment, this stretch of his coaching career for years now. And things, at least so far, seem to largely be going according to that plan. Let's go out to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, and be joined by one of the top Bears beat writers in the business, my guy, Fishy Business, Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. You can find him on social media at KFishbane. Kev, what's happening, man? How you doing tonight?
Oh, and you know me. I'm just counting down to the first day of college football. We there yet?
Not yet. So week zero, there's going to be the game between Iowa State and K-State. They're going to be over in Dublin. Your Northwestern Wildcats have been overseas at different points in the past. But all the Big Ten fandom is going to have to wait just a little bit longer before any of those teams take the field next week. For us, we await tomorrow night, the final preseason game of the Chicago Bears. I was pleased to hear that the starters are going to see some action, and yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound like there was as close a communication between the Chiefs and the Bears, Andy Reid and Ben Johnson, as there were during the first couple of two preseason games. Why is that the case? It just seems like there was like close communication between the Dolphins and the Bills and the Bears, not as much with the Chiefs.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. I think because the Bills and Dolphins had joint practices, so those coaches had a lot to you know, coordinate with each other anyways, you know, planning out how those practices were going to go. They probably did talk about the preseason games as well. But shoot, I kind of wonder if Ben Johnson would have loved to see the Bills start their, you know, number one defense last week. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're great with the fact that it's a number two defense, and maybe that helped the first team Bears offense gain a little confidence. But, you know, either way, I think we're seeing this year that a lot more teams are playing starters in the the third preseason game always was the quote unquote dress rehearsal. Right. It always was, you know, I always joked that, like, when I started covering this, it wasn't that long ago, but I remember that nobody played in game one. Game two, you got like a quarter. Game three, you got through the first half, maybe into the third quarter, and then game four, you didn't play if you were a starter. Now, they're all still trying to figure out the best way to do it, and I think this year you've seen more and more teams realize, hey, we need our starters to get some more live reps in that third preseason game.
Especially with that layoff, right, between having a game on a Friday night and then basically a bye week next week, and then the Bears don't play until the following Monday, you know, the last game of week one in the NFL. There's a few things to figure out and work out here in the first year for Ben Johnson and his offensive system. After you got a chance to kind of go back and take a closer look at preseason game number two, seeing some of the Bears starters, what stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still really impressed by the poise by Caleb Williams and just how smooth that operation was. You know, I think Olamide Zaccheaus has been a really impressive player throughout camp, so it's nice to see him get that big play in the preseason game. I think Colson Loveland has been really impressive in camp, so good to see him get involved as well. Second team, you know, I know there've been a lot about Luther Burden and those blocks, and it's good to see. I mean, I think he also had a couple nice catches. So just seeing guys like that, you know, you want to see the guys who flash in camp also flash in the preseason. And then, you know, Anthony, so this defense's mentality, I think, is good. You know, it's like the starters only played three snaps. They forced a three and out. And then you get the backups in there, and they were really motivated to get that shutout by the time you got to the fourth quarter. And I think Dennis Allen has these guys really in the right frame of mind. And, you know, look, we're always careful with these preseason games. You know, I'm all, you know, Eberflus went 8-2 in the preseason. So, you know, you got to really, you know, be a little cautious. But I think you could see what they are trying to build, what they're trying to instill was on display in that preseason game.
And now we're seeing some of the health concerns creep up. They've kind of been there for a little bit in the secondary because of Jalen Johnson missing all of training camp so far and now the preseason games too. But then the running back position, the defensive line. How concerned are you just with some of the guys getting banged up who, in theory, would be expected to have been key contributors this season?
Yeah, well, it goes back to that layoff you mentioned earlier. I mean, we've got 17 days till the opener. So, you know, I mean, 18 days, like you've got time between to get these guys healthy. And we haven't seen, you know, a long list of tryouts or a bunch of guys coming through. So maybe that means they feel good about a Roschon Johnson or a Travis Homer on defense, Dominique Robinson, Austin Booker. But you'll remember cuts are Tuesday. So that could make things a little tricky for Ryan Poles. Like, you know, you can put a couple guys on IR to return, and that gives you some roster flexibility. So do we see the Bears carry maybe extra offensive linemen? You know, can they afford to carry extra offensive linemen, or do they need to carry an extra? Here's an example. Tano Capasinho, defensive end, a veteran guy, played for Dennis Allen in New Orleans, was with the Chiefs when Ryan Poles was there. You know, he's had a nice camp. You know, he's been solid. Not somebody I think a lot of Bears fans would have put on their 53. I mean, shoot, he signed right as camp got underway. But if you look at that position right now, would you rather keep him because you're maybe not certain about Austin Booker and Dominique Robinson, so you maybe keep an extra defensive end, and then where do you cut? Do you is it one less receiver? Is it one less offensive lineman? Things like that. So, you know, I think that it's interesting that cut down day. Listen, selfishly, I love that cut down day is now in the middle of the week and not going back to how we started, during the first Saturday of college football season. I hated that. I could tell you, I would be sitting in the Ryan Field bleachers, like with my laptop, trying to, like that guy at Wrigley Field the other day, trying to track all the cuts. But you could see how it causes some challenges for these GMs and coaches because, you know, they've got to essentially map out, well, what is it going to look like in 13 days or 11 days, whatever it is, when they're going to actually play a game. So that's a tough thing for them to project out. So you've got to rely on your trainers, your doctors to give you the best, you know, situation for, yes, a defensive end, running back are kind of the two positions that really come to mind for that.
And it's a roster that's certainly deeper now than it was going into last year when Ryan Pohl said, oh, this is going to be a tough team to make or a tough roster to crack or whatever. Like, I wasn't sure about it then. I do feel like that's more accurate now, while at the same time, I've got two third-year players, guys, you know, in their third season with the Bears that are both day two? Well, one third-round, one fourth-round pick. I'm thinking about Roschon Johnson, who was a fourth-round pick. Zach Pickens, who was a third-round pick, and he's at least flashed a bit that I've seen here in training camp and preseason action, but it's a deeper D line, especially on the interior, that he's got to try and make his way through here. But Shamar Turner hasn't been on the field. They haven't necessarily bolstered running back that much beyond the seventh-round pick in Kyle Manung, guys. So Roschon Johnson doesn't necessarily have new acquisitions that threaten his spot on the roster. But as far as the depth of this roster, Johnson and Pickens on each side of the ball seem to me to be guys that, you know, if they're questionable for making this team, I'm fascinated by, you know, how that will impact the perception of the depth here because they're recent draft picks.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, Pickens, certainly there's two ways to look at it. On the one hand, the Bears might have really found something with Chris Williams, who they traded for last year, had a nice season as your kind of fourth defensive tackle. Here he comes back, and Dennis Allen said some nice things about him the other day at the podium. He's had a couple of nice plays in the preseason. Again, he's your number four guy. You don't need a ton out of him. So that speaks to your depth. On the other hand, if you're cutting a third-round pick, that means you didn't develop your third-round pick, and that didn't work out. And that's also not a good thing for your personnel department. So, you know, if Pickens doesn't make the team because the personnel department identified Chris Williams, because they feel good about Shamar Turner's health, they made the signing of Grady Jarrett, you know, those are things that makes the interior defensive line better. But obviously you want your third round picks to pan out. You know, with Roschon Johnson, as you said, you know, running back, there's not as many other guys in there that are going to really challenge him. So, and also he's really valuable on special teams. So that's somebody who, as long as he's healthy, should be on the team. The thing with Roschon Johnson, though, and you talk about a guy who maybe didn't live up to the hype on draft day, is here comes Kyle Manung, guy, seventh round pick, who, you know, if right now looks like the number two running back. And again, it's two sides of the coin, right? It's like, hey, what a find by the scouting department. And then it's like, well, wait a second, shouldn't that fourth round pick out of Texas, who they, you know, were so excited about, shouldn't he have just solidified that spot? So, you know, look, this is the roster churn, right? It's the life cycle of the NFL, and this is how this stuff goes, you know, for Ryan Poles and for that group. But yeah, I think it's, you feel better about the depth for sure, but you also would love more of those day three picks to be able to pan out. But I should say, though, as we're talking about day three picks, a great example is Noah Sewell. I think he's somebody we probably all would have written off maybe at the beginning of this offseason training program. You know, they bring in Hippolyte. You know, Sewell's just barely been able to see the field. Here he comes. He stays healthy. Has made a lot of plays in the football. And you think about the tackle for loss last week. And here's somebody who is on the flip side. Like, he's trajectory up as he enters his third season.
Really quickly, before I let you go, it does allude to me the left tackle conversation with some of the things you referenced there, where you can look at it and say, oh, man, Theo Benedict might be a great find. It's starting to look that way. But then at the same time, it points out that they really haven't insulated themselves at left tackle yet, because the guy who for a while seemed like kind of the crowd favorite, Ozzie Trapillo, internally they ended up realizing, oh, he's not suited to be a starting left tackle right now either. Where does the left tackle situation sit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big night tomorrow night for Braxton Jones. In an ideal way, he goes out there, does a fine job, and they say to themselves, hey, we've got 2 weeks and 3 days for him to just rest that ankle and be ready to go for Minnesota, and we're okay. I think they just have to make sure that, you know, he stays healthy tomorrow night and just does his job, and they can be like, all right, we know what Braxton can do. We're okay with this. And then you're fine. And as you said, you have developed Theo Benedet into an option. You can be patient with Ozzie Trapillo. They will spin it as, hey, he can play. We're going to work him on both sides. He's our swing guy, and we'll see what happens next year. And he's ready to hop in if we need him to. And then you go to another third round pick that you got to worry about in Karan Amagaji. Like, I just don't think you could give up on a guy like that soon, but that injury he had in the middle of camp really cost him, and Benedet has passed him right as of now, so what do you do with him? But yeah, I think that the nice thing, Ant, is that, like, that left tackle is probably your fifth best offensive lineman, right. And that makes you feel a little bit better about not knowing who your left tackle is at this point in August.
Completely agreed. This is the best position they've been in, while still the marquee spot on the O-line still, for some reason, just is a gaping question mark for the Bears. We know as they answer those questions, you will cover it as well as anyone. Fishy Business, as always, appreciate you, man.
You as well. Take care.
That is Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. You can find him on social media at KFishbane. And remember, Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We'll return at top of hour number two. We'll keep some football conversation rolling, but we're related to the baseball discussion that we were having earlier. The Kyle Tucker scenario just reminds me of a situation that I found myself in that continues to impact me to this day, years after I was done playing the sport of football. And I was just sitting here laughing about it earlier in the day, and it made me really eager to share it with you guys tonight. I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.